Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Red or Dead podcast. It's your boy Suki hosting today, and I'm joined by the ever-present Dre and Maria. How are you guys today? Starting off with Maria.
I'm good. Been busy.
I'm also good, and I've also been.
Sorry, that was really lame. I'm good.
Sound like you're a hostage there. Yeah. Read only from these cards. Only. We've been good. It's been really, really busy, and we've everything that we all
talk us through the business, Dre, because your Instagram feed is full on influencer at the moment. You are everywhere. You're at the rugby the other day, you're at F1 parties the other day, you're at special screenings of Batman, you're at launch parties of Batman. Talk us through it, Dre.
You remember some things I forgot.
No, stalker vibes going on here.
Yeah, well, I really, sometimes it's only when I look back on some of the stuff we get to do. I'm really blessed that we get to have access to some of this stuff, like obviously getting to see the Batman, the car and the costumes and a bit of the set. That was really cool. But like, obviously, you know, everyone knows I live and breathe sports. So, you know, now that there's the off season with NFL, which is my second, well, joint first love, I would say, it's really interesting to be able to go to, you know, the big game, before the big game tomorrow for England rugby. Seeing them train and seeing how they go at it, and they don't pull out of any challenges at all. They really do, like, you know, you earn your place in that team, that's for damn sure. So yeah, it's been really, really like a busy
so you're period. At Twickenham tomorrow, are you?
I'm at Twickenham tomorrow, so I'm gonna be supporting and singing on Sweet Low, Swing Low Sweet Chariot. Is that the song?
That is the song. You're such a
you're a devoted fan.
Not an England fan, not an England football fan, because I want them to lose at all time because I enjoyed it. I enjoy the tournament when they're out. That's it. He got me and I bit.
Dre's gonna be there in full rugby kit tomorrow.
Shoulder pads
underneath the top.
It's a snob in me, so I get to be around like other rugger fans, and we just really enjoy. You know, really great game.
Yeah.
I am practicing for tomorrow.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah.
How about you, Maria? How's your week been? What have you been up to?
I'm trying to think of anything exciting that I've done this week that people would be interested in. Unfortunately, probably not.
You sound like me the last couple of months.
Yeah. I had a really nice Thai meal on Monday.
Oh, that is breaking
maybe
news.
It was Tuesday. Yeah, that was good. I did do something. I went to Toka Social at the O2.
Boom.
Ah, amazing.
Yes, that was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. It was very funny as well.
The football kicking one, right?
Yeah, so that sounds really good fun, doesn't it?
No, it does look actually really cool.
But it's like this machine, and the balls come out, and you've got to kind of hit targets and whatever, and get points, and you play as teams, and you play as an individual. And as it goes on, I didn't realise at the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is easy, I was doing all right. But then the ball starts coming out faster and faster. So there was one point, there's just like balls everywhere, and I caught the ball, and I then kicked it from catching it, and everyone was shouting handball, which... I was like, you know, it wasn't like we were actually playing football. But it was coming at me, so my instinct was to catch it.
I'm like,
it
but ref, so ref, I... no.
Yeah, so I kind of caught it, bounced it and kicked it. So that was all right.
Have they really fixed the roof on the O2 yet?
No, they haven't. They've just closed off the bit with the shops is closed. So you can't go around them. But the restaurants and the arena and everything else is open. The main bits are open.
I need to go to this Toka Social. I keep saying
it's so good. Dre, can we all go? I love how we asked Dre, like he's our dad. Dre, can we go to Toka Social?
Only if you're good. Only if you're good.
Can we have pizza afterwards as well, please, Dre?
Oh, I don't know about that. You might.
Last,
you've got to earn it.
Right, let's start with the West Ham game. I actually missed this last week because I was too busy at a music gig last Saturday, very drunk, watching Disclosure at...
Is that who you was watching?
Yeah, Disclosure at Ali Pali. They were really good. It was only the second time I've seen them, and the first time I saw them was Coachella a few years ago, name drop.
Here he is.
which was actually...
I walked right into that one.
Which was one of my favorite ever sets I've seen live, because they just, like, it was that great album Carousel, and they just brought out every sort of guest singer for it. So they had literally like 10 singers come out for each song, and it was incredible. So it was only the second time I saw them, but they were just incredible. So good. And it's just a really good venue, Ali Pali. But let's get into the West Ham game. I've seen the highlights, but I'm going to start off with Maria. Oh, let's start off with Dre. Maria's point to me saying start off with Dre. Dre, what did you think of the West Ham game? Who started? Would you have changed anybody? What do you think of the performance?
I mean, it was a strong start up. I believe Naby started in that game, which is obviously a bone of contention. Just definitely in our group. but I think to be honest, if I could summarise that game, it was more obviously missed chances. Obviously, you know, not worried about 100% on their side. Like, I don't know how he missed that one. I can't remember. Is it Lanzini? Missed the last chance. But then obviously Mo missed a few chances as well. I think he hit two.
Mo missed each post. I was like,
Each post as well. But I think, you
know, no, that was the other game, wasn't it? The post.
Was that the Inter?
Oh, that was Champions League. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but I mean, he wasn't. Oh, he got taken off though, I believe. Anyway, yeah. But I think with Mo, he's not in bad form. He just seems to be. It's difficult. I wouldn't say it's bad form because he's not playing. He's not playing badly because he's still creating opportunities in there, but he's just not finishing, and he just doesn't seem like himself. So if there is an option, which there is, but I don't think that, you know, Jurgen's going to take it. Is he needs to sit a game or two, or come off the bench, because I think he needs a bit of rest. I think that there's if there's games like Brighton where we can actually, you know, should be able to, when we've got the squad depth enough to be able to beat this team, you should pull him off early, you know, after he scored, just so he can. That's, or there could be a different way of thinking, just play through the bad form.
I'm a bit worried, Percy, actually. I'm a bit worried about Mo. Maria, what do you make of him? What do you make of his form? Yeah,
well, since he's come back from that, I felt like before AFCON, we were seeing an amazing Mo. Like, yeah, the attitude was spot on. Yeah. Attitude was great. As you're saying, world class. There was no none of that kind of diva-ishness that we see now and then. I felt like that had gone, and that felt really good. I was like, this is good. This is a good Mo that we're seeing. Selfishness when needed was there, so it wasn't like selfish for the sake of
it. Wasn't noticeable, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, it was good, it felt good. Since he's come back, it's really hard to pinpoint what's going on, and you know, it's a real worry that if any player is going off to an international tournament, doesn't win, and then comes back and is just off for whatever reason, you know, he's someone who will be away at international tournaments. You know, we've got World Cup and whatever, and you can't have that. He's got to be consistent. It's not clear what's going on. It's not making much sense. But
I think it's compounded by the fact that he lost to a teammate. I think he has to get over that.
Yeah, he has to accept they're two different teams. That's your national side. And this is the team that you play for day to day, every day, your job ultimately. And it's a real concern that if that's going to be something that happens again, you know, where are we going to be next time? Aren't Senegal playing Egypt again at some point, I believe?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually.
They're facing them at something. I can't remember, but it's a bit of a concern that he can't kind of get over that, because you kind of wonder, what is it that he's upset about? Is it that he's upset that Egypt didn't win? Is he upset that he didn't take a penalty when he should have?
I think what we're not overlooking is that the sheer amount of football that these guys
have. I think that is an element. I think there is
it catches up with you. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's 3 years of playing consecutively. Yeah. Since he's actually joined Liverpool,
and Mane got a
he's
break,
played consecutively.
Because actually Salah didn't. I think one of the other things that's concerning me about Salah, and I hope this isn't the case, is this ongoing speculation over his contract. And I do worry whether the uncertainty, and obviously we don't know what's going on because there's, as always, we're not, you know, there's no discussion, open discussion over it. But the fact that last year with the whole Genie situation, when the contract was up for renewal, we saw a dip in his attitude, his performance, his general demeanor. And I wonder whether that's part of it as well. So there's this ongoing contract stuff, there's general fatigue from playing endless football. There's obviously, you know, all the, as you were saying, the AFCON stuff, all the hoo-ha that was made over all the AFCON players. I thought it was quite sad that Mane didn't, you know, get as, I know Liverpool did kind of celebrate him online and social, and I'm sure privately as well, but you know, he said that he didn't want,
he asked not to do any celebrations in front of
but
Salah.
I can't help but think that kind of Salah should have said no.
Yeah.
We should do it because he deserved it. So I don't know, it's a bit of a strange one. I can't
see, I don't think it's the Genie situation. I think it's him trying too hard. I think it's him.
There is an air of desperation.
He's trying to prove everything. It's just, I fully agree with the first bits you were saying. He for the first half of the season before Christmas, just looked incredible. There was none of the selfishness in his game. He's just playing unbelievably well. He was scoring great goals.
Pure adoration for him in the media. Everyone was talking
about him. He was for me at that period was the best player in the world. And now since coming back from AFCON, I think I saw a start or something. I think I can't remember if it's 9 or 10 games. And he's only scored 2 from open play. And if I look back at those 2 goals which he scored from open play, there's the one into one, which was a scuff, which just about went in. And then there's also the Norwich one, which in my opinion was...
It was sort of
to get out the way, yeah. And then and then there was the Norwich one, which looks like a great goal, but I actually don't think he meant that finish. I think he got really lucky with the finish. I think he turned the goalkeeper really well, but again, he scuffed the shot. And I don't think he realised the player was running away from that area. And I think he luckily got the corner. Don't get me wrong, it was a great take. It was a great first touch. It was a great turn to turn the goalkeeper. But I think the actual finish wasn't that good. And there's been chances he should have scored. There's a couple. We'll get onto the Inter game in a moment. But there are chances he should have scored. He just seems to be trying too much, trying to do it all himself at the moment. And it,
do you think Diaz being there has also caused a bit of a...
I actually think the Diaz thing has, like, he seems to have a really good relationship with Diaz. I think that he seems to like it. He was really happy when Diaz scored. He seems close to Diaz to me already than he ever was with Mane. But I do think Diaz...
They never seemed to quite, you know, they never struck me as being particularly friendly.
Yeah, I think Diaz getting the adoration must have an impact as well, where he wants to be like, no, I am the better player here. It should be me. And I think there was an issue, certainly from me watching the West Ham game, and all of them were guilty of it, not just Salah, but Mane and Diaz as well. Yeah. None of them passed to each other. There's a moment where Diaz had a great run and Salah was through, and all he needed to do was a 2-yard through ball, and Salah would have had an open chance and goal, and he didn't pass it.
It's like they're suddenly competing with each other. They want to get the numbers.
And Salah had that chance actually, where he is one on one as well afterwards, where he just underhit it, and their defender sort of cleared it before the line. It didn't even reach the line. I'm pretty sure it was going wide anyway. And it's the old Salah would just bury that, like, or the Salah before Christmas. So yeah, I'm not sure what to make of it. And Dre, talk us through some of the chances they had, because they could have, I think, buried a few, actually. They had one-on-one with Fornells in the first half as well, with the high line.
Yeah, I think as well, another thing with this high line is that sometimes I think we're very, very, very reliant upon it. And I think they've kind of worked out how the Simpsons is going to work. What can we say? We've had a lot of clean sheets in the last few weeks. So therefore, they've kind of worked out to a T. However, from a fan's point of view and from a viewer's point of view, supporter's point of view, you're nervous that they're going to make a wrong decision for VAR. Because some of it is just so borderline. I would rather them, you know, kind of be a bit more cautious and actually,
well,
you know.
Well, I think we'd be lucky, you know, to get away with it the last few games, because the last few games, if I watch, we actually haven't caught them offside. There's been a straggler defender, whether that's.
Yeah, but if it's Brent, like. Just like a shirt or something. It's just like. But there's no defining, like, oh, I know he's off. It's like, yeah. I hope he is.
Yeah, and my issue is actually, if I look back at the chances we've given the last week, it's not been due to great defending that we've had clean sheets. It's been due to glaring misses by them. If I look back at the West Ham game, I feel Fornell should have scored. I don't know why he attempted a slow chip. He should have scored that chance.
But brilliant clearance. But on the other hand, that's a brilliant clearance.
It's a clearance I'd expect Trent to make. If he's running back, I think Fornell should bury that. I think Lanzini should bury his chance. And then there's a chance for Antonio near the end where he tried to take it himself, where actually if he laid it across, it could have been a tap-in. And some of those just concern me. I don't think that some of that's great defending. I think some of that's bad misses from the opposition.
But you know what this the strange thing is that when we look at like City, we see how many opportunities the other team gets to be able to score. You see sometimes they just, majority of the times, they haven't deserved to be able to win, especially in the early part of the season when they were just like kind of struggling. But the main thing is that the championship teams and title winning teams win. When you're not playing bad, when you're not playing well, even if you're playing badly, you scrape something. You don't walk out with no points. And I think that's the habit that we've got, which I kind of... You know, obviously, you would focus more on some of the performance, and I'm just about the end result.
I agree. At this stage,
but
in
I
the
agree
season,
with you.
At this stage in the season, it is about the results and more.
Yeah, we're at the money time now. So this is like the time where all that other stuff, the performance stuff, like that's in the start of the season. Now it's about grit and determination. How much do you want it? You know, how better are you than the other teams? And I think that if
agreed, if and, Salah's if, having if play, off, and if sorry, we play God, badly for the next 10 games. If we win all of them and win the Premier League, I'm not going to care.
Exactly.
Well,
no,
I mean, that's
going to talk about the performance. They're going to talk about the fact that we won the league.
But that's the thing, is it's like, I get it from another point of view. It's like some logic would be like, well, if you perform badly, then it's highly unlikely you're going to win the games. And I think we've just got a winning habit. I think we've got a very, very strong defence. I think they've all got a good connection and understanding amongst each other, even though like it sometimes makes our hearts go in our mouths always. But I think on the most part,
as a team,
yeah. But you got to look back at way back before Jurgen and all the defense that we've got now. Like those are real moments that we was worried about when we had Phil Babb and other people like that, like years back. Like we it's night and day's difference to what we have to deal with now. But I think what happens is that generally we become sport because the bar, the level that these guys have performed at for the last few years have been so high. We can nitpick at other things that other teams will dream about. You know?
I think it's definitely being sport, but I think we are valid in saying that because we look at the players and they are such quality. And at the moment, I feel they should be performing better than they are.
That's why it's frustrating because it's inconsistent. I feel like we've gone to that when last year, sort of this kind of time last year, was it this kind of time?
Yeah.
Where they were just all over the place. Not that they, you know, I don't think we're at that stage.
No.
But it's that complacency again, that kind of sloppiness where they're kind of happy to just win, even if it's scrape a win or we win by luck of decisions. And they're happy with that because I also think there is an element of tiredness, fatigue. I just wanted to get on with it and get the job done. But the problem with that is that other teams then look at Liverpool and they're like, well, look, they're not performing very well. And they can start to notice where it is that the problems lie. And that's where it becomes dangerous.
Yeah. And speaking of complacency, actually, so that'll lead us on to the Inter game, because I think that that's exactly what it is. I think it is a bit of complacency, a bit of sort of arrogance, and it's the inability to turn up some of these games. So in my mind, going into the Inter game, there's no doubt we weren't qualifying for the quarterfinals of the Champions League. I know Cass was saying to us that it's not a given. We need to be careful. We still need to be putting out a strong team, of course, but I didn't expect our strongest 11 to be out on the pitch, not with all the other fixtures. So talk us through that game, Dre. What did you think of the Inter game? That was obviously a loss at Anfield.
Well, I watch a lot of Italian football, so therefore I think that there's a... you know, something in this country is they still kind of look down at La Liga because they fell on hard financial times and they wasn't able to attract the best players as they were like years ago with Van Basten, Hullet and all these types of people that were there. But it's a very good league. And a lot of these leagues have got very, very good players that maybe we haven't heard of, but they are, you know, very technically strong players with well-coached and well-managed you know, determined, you know, players, because obviously their fans are not going to put up with just subpar performances. And these are the champions of Italy, you know, and then possibly in the mix to win it again, you know. So they've got a real title race. Like we think we've got one, we don't, you know. It's just the procession is usually obviously Man City and then us like fighting a good fight, and then no one else is doing anything there. Well, they've got a 3-way fight there for the title. So therefore, I didn't go into there thinking that we're going to thrash them. I was very surprised that, like, with the result that we had the last time at San Siro, because you know, I thought that Inter would actually do better than that. But, like, you know, Lautaro Martinez is a serious striker. Like, if he came over here, he'd be banging in goals left, right, and center. So he was worrying me. But I think some of the other stuff is like, I think again, it's how good we are, and our bar is so high that I think that I can solemnly say that I would be surprised if we don't get to the final at least of the Champions League. And it's not because I support Liverpool or I'm just like dogging on other teams. It's just because I can see our level is that much higher. But I feel like that game, again, it's a follow up from the West Ham game where there's like a disconnect, and I feel that now you know, Diaz is actually getting a bit more, you know, comfortable in the team. Because remember, the last few games, he's been a pass first person. He hasn't really looked to be, like, he's just settling in. But I think the more now that he's getting comfortable, he's going to be taking on the chances himself. And I think he's more than capable of doing it. But I think that pass to Salah should have happened. Like, you know, that was a very easy pass when it came to the West Ham game. I think that he should have started against Inter. I feel like Jota's gone off form a little bit as well. Jota should be coming off the bench.
He wasn't really involved in the game, and I sort of felt sorry for him because he wasn't getting any service.
He's coming in deeper for it. I think you need Bobby back just for a bit.
We need Bobby back, I think, for those type of games where we're not linking, where we've got our fullbacks. I don't think our fullbacks were very good going forwards against Inter. I thought they were solid defensively. I thought Trent had a great game defensively, but I think Ford, he gave the ball away a lot. His crossing wasn't very good. He underhit corners. He didn't get clear the first man on crosses. And I think games like that, I think we need Bobby because we haven't really got the creativeness. Speaking of Diaz, actually, what are your thoughts on our strongest team? Does that include Diaz or not, Maria, in your opinion? Should Diaz start?
I think he should, actually. Because, I mean, as much as Mane is obviously a great player, he has these Salah moments as well that we're going through now where there's no pace or he's, I don't know, there's been instances, you know, where he's just kind of standing there and you're like, what are you doing? You just want to shake him. So I think actually, yeah, I think Diaz should be starting. And actually, you know, like you were saying before, maybe that just rest up some of the usual starters and put people, we've got strong players. We've been asking for a bit of depth.
Minamino, shout out.
Yeah, well, but Minamino's been, I'm just trying to think last. It's been
pretty
solid, you can kind of you can rely on him to do a good job, a good solid job. So I don't see why we can't have. I think we need to stop thinking of whenever we see Minamino in or I don't know whoever else. Whenever we see those players in, certain players in, suddenly thinking that it's like the B team. We need to stop thinking like that. We need to be thinking we've got two first teams, and we shouldn't be because all this negativeness about people like Minamino and whoever else, you know, all the others that we as fans, and you see it on social media when the lineups come out and it isn't the usual three or the usual midfield or the usual defenders, people start like panicking, and that must trickle down into the team. Like they must know what people think. So that doesn't
mean like Minamino. I think Minamino's great.
I think he needs that. He needs a bit more. There's something else that he needs, and it's not his ability or anything like that.
It's confidence.
The confidence, but from the team in him. Because he doesn't, he just does not look like a confident player. He always looks a little bit aside from everyone, like he feels like he doesn't deserve to be there, and he does, and he's great, and he scores and does exactly what he needs to be doing. So
he doesn't have the selfishness that confidence gives you, and he needs that for the Premier League.
Yeah,
I think. But back to the Diaz thing. For me, Diaz has, like, in our big games, has to start. He is like the old Mane on the left wing, and we just look far more threatening. And it's Mane has lost his pace. He's lost his pace for the last year and a half to 2 years now.
We've noticed it.
And we were hoping it was going to come back, but he doesn't seem to have the ability to take on players. Diaz already is doing what Mane hasn't been able to do the last year and a half. So,
and he's got Diaz, these little magic touches as well that you just enjoy watching. It's just like, wow, look at what he's doing.
Yeah, no, for me, Diaz. I hope come off the back of these two games that Klopp has really had a go. I think he needs to have a go at these front players. I think they need to look out for each other a bit more. I think if we are passing, we get far more goals. Like if I my view on the Inter game is I was really frustrated we lost. As you guys obviously know, I just think losing at Anfield just is a big deal, whether we got through to the next round or not. I think it now give other teams coming to Anfield that bit of confidence, especially in the Champions League. And that really frustrates me. Like, Anfield's our fortress. We hadn't lost in all competitions, even with second sides, in over a year, in 28 games. And we shouldn't have lost that game. Look, don't get me wrong, Martinez scored an unbelievable goal. They didn't really create anything other than that. And I wouldn't expect them to score other than that. But yeah, we should have scored, and it's frustrating we didn't. We obviously hit the post a couple of times and the bar. Salah has to score on both of his post opportunities. The second one was harder, but the first one was simple. Diaz, the only thing frustrating thing about me for Diaz is he's trying this no-look too much. Why does he keep doing the no-look? That shot he missed at the end was a no-look shot, which I realised afterwards. Which, what's his name? Vidal, can't remember his.
Oh, yeah.
Vidal blocked. That was a no-look shot. I can't believe he tried to do a no-look shot there. But
I think it's good to have flair players that are going to be trying to do something. Obviously, Bobby does lots of stuff that you know, more stuff he pulls off than not. But, I think it's good that he's doing that. I do think that we need someone to be able to facilitate and actually start getting people going. And I think that when Bobby comes back, my starting lineup right here and right now, if all fit, would be Bobby in the middle, Diaz on the left hand side, and then it would be obviously Mo Salah. And I think that he would be a person who'd actually get them going. I think that sometimes if you've got Jota there, if Jota's not having a good game, he gets in within his own brain, and then he starts thinking, I'm going to take a shot from outside. And you can't have everyone there like trying to shoot all the time. There's got to be a pass first, pass to the
yeah. I think I'm 50-50 on Bobby and Jota. I think sometimes Bobby has a good game, but sometimes he has a bad game as well. So I think it depends on sort of the team and who else we've got in the lineup between Bobby and Jota. Before we move on to the next games, I just want to give a shout out to Matip, who has got Player of the Month for this month, which is obviously huge. He's had a great month. He obviously was sloppy for that goal we gave away against Inter, but he's had a pretty good month. He scored a couple of goals, has he? Yeah, he's been really good. He's been solid at the back.
I think because we've got, you know, Konate, who can actually come in. Yes, I got his name right this week. And
I was about to say that. I thought I won't say anything.
Because we've got like strong substitutes to be able to come on, then there's not that much need for him to be playing every single game, all game long. So I think you're actually getting the best out of him because you can know when to rest him. He's probably because we've been in a rich vein of form winning wise. Then it hasn't been. There's not been a microscope on how often Matip is playing, but he has been rested a few games out of the last, let's say, the last 12.
And let's just talk about Gomez while we're on here, because I saw in the news in the last couple of days that, I don't know if it's true or not, but that he's wanting to leave in the summer.
Yeah, if you're not playing, then yeah, I don't blame him. I think he's good. But again, he's a tough person. Who,
we need four central defenders, though. I think from a team.
Yeah, but beat out your competition. Simple as. The end of the day is that Konate's came in and actually is a better player than you right now. That right here and right now, would you put Gomez over Konate?
I would not have an issue with that. Actually, I like Gomez. I think Gomez
over Konate.
Yeah, I think Gomez needs game time, so I'd give him game time.
No, but let's say Matip is out. If Matip is out, let's say Matip is out.
I'd go Konate every time.
Who would you go with?
No, I wouldn't mind Konate or Gomez.
Yeah, but who would you choose? It sounds a bit fancy for my liking.
You need to choose one.
Yeah, choose your pizza.
No, but...
Brighton on Saturday, who are you going for? If we're not going to have Matip, who are you going to have?
I'm touching wood that bloody Matip doesn't, before you lot say I jinxed it.
I think if we're playing a good opposition, I'd go Konate, our best one. For Brighton, I'd be happy with Gomez starting with...
Yeah, but then that means you think that Konate is better than Gomez.
No, yeah, agreed. But I think that's because Gomez came back from an injury. I think Gomez should have featured more so far, so he's in better form right now. I think on-form Gomez is an unbelievable player, and we won the Premier League with Gomez and Van Dijk in the back because Matip was injured for half the season.
Fully fit, who are you choosing? Because you're dancing a lot.
Fully fit. So if Gomez...
Fully fit, we're playing against City. Who are you playing?
I don't think there's anything between them fully fit, actually.
What?
Yeah, no, I really like Gomez.
No, don't get me wrong, Joe. If you're listening, I love you. And you're an amazing player.
Nice Catford boy. We like Jake.
But let's put this... Like, come on. You ain't better than Konate. I'm sorry, no. I'm sorry. Did you see the acceleration? I don't know who he was running against, but someone tried to test him out.
Yeah, it was a few games ago.
But
Konate's not been perfect for us.
You've been sentimental.
No, I am being sentimental. I think Gomez is a quality player. I think we should let him leave.
I think if Gomez, what sticks to my mind is that, do you remember when you were saying like teams work out who to play against? I personally believe if you've got Konate and Trent, then you don't notice too much of, there's not too much of a defensive hole because Konate is very good at covering for Trent.
Yeah.
Because obviously he can play right back as well, so he understands the position. Although Gomez has actually played, right back. I feel that you're more exposed. And what comes to my mind is when we were playing against Leroy Sané, and he tore, and Raheem Sterling tore Gomez a new one. And that ain't happening with Konate. Absolutely no. I haven't seen, if I had to give Konate a mark out of 10 since he's been there, 9, because I've only seen him make one error.
No, he's made more than a couple of errors. Look, he's been very good for us. He's been very strong. He's sailed it very quickly. He's been very good when he's with Verge, but he has made mistakes. Let me ask you a question. Matip or Konate then?
No, Matip all day.
See, my issue with Matip is he he is sloppy a lot, like with that goal against Inter. And so that frustrates me. I think Matic's really good going forwards. I think he's been pretty good for us, but I think he has been sloppy and he steps forwards too much. And I think it exposes us sometimes.
I think you got...
There's no need to do his pass for the Inter goal.
If you just go through, really, like, you know, when him and Verge was playing together in our the title run, then, like, that was flawless. I don't really see many people getting the best of him that much. Look, all defenders are going to make a mistake. I don't care who you are. You know, even back in the days when Man United had Yapstam and everyone else, like, or Vidic, there always was a mistake in them. But, like, there's few and far between. It's not that much for you to be able to say, like, he's like a Phil Babb or someone else, or John Stones or someone like that.
That's a few mentions of Phil Babb now.
I'm shooting at Phil Babb. But, like, if you look at, even if you go back to when it was Hupia and Carragher playing, then there's mistakes that they've not made. And then definitely I saw Carragher get roasted a few times by Henri. Especially that comes to mind. So everyone's got their weakness.
I think the defenders are better than Carragher now. I think the levels are for our team anyway, the current defenders.
Right, well, I'm going to tell him that when you see him.
Tell him. I don't get wrong. He's a Liverpool legend. And he played with his heart. But I think in terms of ability and quality, the central defenders now are better for Liverpool. Before I move on to the upcoming fixtures, I just want to touch news on the Chelsea, what's been happening at Chelsea. And Abramovich. We haven't got too long left. I'm going to go slightly over to talk about this. But seeing as you're so excited, Ray, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, go.
Maria, you know what? I must say this. All right, let me just preference this by saying I'm not pleased about the war. I think that there's bigger things at stake. And, you know, I just have to claim the obvious stuff because people just want to be offended by everything. And we're here to be able to kind of take ourselves away from the war coverage.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. It'll be the fifth time I've been cancelled. But I just want to make it clear we're not being insensitive to the actual plight of the war. And I do 100% agree politically what the government have actually done is and taken away the club from Abramovich, because obviously you shouldn't be making profits especially in the situation he's in now. So good for them. Bad for them for making sure they're selling him the club in the first place and all the properties. You know, when the money's coming in, the morals go completely. Now, Chelsea fans, I've got a problem with them, as per usual. Like, I just think they're just, like, to be honest with you, like, one of the worst sets of fans in the UK, for sure. Them chanting his name...
During the silence, it was ridiculous.
Like, I don't know what possessed them to do something stupid.
I know many, many Chelsea fans who are nice guys, and I'm not talking about you guys who I personally know, but a lot of them, a lot of these fans are scum, and they care about their club more than actually just being a normal citizen of the world. I just think that from another point of view, I think all fans are kind of reveling in this because they're happy that football is finally, in one way or another, coming back, where people you're getting rewarded for running your club properly. You're getting rewarded for actually, you know, being sensible and, you know, spending what you have and making wise decisions. No one's perfect, but you cannot just keep on buying your way out of this. And obviously, this led to many debates about the type of owner that if we was to move on from FSG, who we would have. But this here, again, is a prime example of what, you know, be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, you could win all the trophies. And all those trophies, for me, are kind of tarred by, you know, the blood money, effectively, to me. But that's just my take.
Maria, go on. Tell us what you think.
Do you know, it's... Obviously, it's all... I completely agree that it should be taken away from him. And as Dre was saying, it shows how you should... It says something about the ethics in football and where the money comes from and how, as fans, as just generally, the FA and so on, there's a blind eye turned. And it's actually very, very sad that happens. And this is something that I don't think anyone could foresee ever happening. And for it to happen in the way that it has, and you know, it's like, it was quite shocking in a way, not surprising, like, you know, we knew that this could happen with the war, but
yeah,
then...
and some of the reparations are obviously free, removing their shirt sponsor.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's these other things that have happened, because I think people kind of accepted, okay, so he's going to sell the club. But then it was the sponsors leaving. They can't sell merchandise. They can't actually sell tickets. They might have to play behind closed doors. It's a difficult, difficult thing, because on one hand, you can kind of say, well, the ordinary kind of Joe blogs walking down the street who just wants to go and watch their football team play, it's awful that they're being punished. But on the other hand, it actually shows us the repercussions of not thinking through the ethical side of who owns what and how we own them. So if as fans, all right, let's think back last year to Super League. Do you remember we were outraged and we were actually saying things like, well, what team are we going to support? So we were actually, that. Well, some people, not everyone, but there were some of us actually willing to say, I'm not going to support that team anymore, my team anymore, because I don't agree with them going down this route, which I see as unethical, and unethical in quite a different way to this unethical. So, you know, I think as fans, we need to be thinking about, as Dre said, you know, be careful what we wish for. We go on and on about our owners and so on. But then there's also the fans who've kind of just been hit in a way of, they might not agree with who owned Chelsea and where the money's come from and whatever, but it's their team. They've supported it forever. It's running their family and so on. So it just shows how things that happen miles and miles away that we might not think a huge amount of, or think it's nothing to do with us, or just go, oh, it's terrible, and, you know, stick stuff on our social media and, you know, do all this tokenistic stuff. It's interesting how when it suddenly hits normal people, how they have to then think of the repercussions of decisions that were made that maybe they didn't agree with, or maybe they did agree with. You know, maybe it was all greed. Yeah, we're going to be the best team in the world because we're going to buy our way to doing that. So it's just, I think it's just it's a really interesting situation, and to see how it will play out in the world of football. I'm not talking about obviously what's going on in the Ukraine. See how it plays out in terms of football will be very, very interesting. And also in terms of looking at other owners of football teams, because surely this is now the time to talk about that. We've got Newcastle owned by a blooming state.
Yeah, I think this does bring, I don't think it's a debate for our podcast or for us, but it does bring into light the contradictions of, okay, so you're stopping Abramovich, but you've allowed a Saudi sale where they've also issues in their political issues in their country with other countries too. So yeah, it does bring into all that into light, and it's, where's the line, I guess? And I guess that's one for the government to decide whether we agree with it or not. My view is, I really want to reiterate what Dre said, where that whole Roman Abramovich chanting during that silence for Ukraine was just graceful. Completely disgusting. And I if my club Liverpool did that, I'd be so annoyed with
and yeah, but this isn't the first time. And let me just say, because I know someone who actually works and does social media for Chelsea, like, you know, there are people, human beings, who've actually gone from one job, high profile job, to another one in good faith, and this has like really messed them up. So this is not about them in any form of way, and any decent person that supports Chelsea. There's many people that we all know who do that. But we're talking about that, the element of those fans that consistently do racist things, racist chants, hissing at Jewish people, pretending to be a gas, taunting, pushing black people off the train. Like, all of this stuff, like, this is stuff that's gone on and on and on and on. So therefore, like, for me, I think the club hasn't done enough to be able to, like, kind of weed out those types of people, or tell people on the tannoy, stop hissing, stop making, you know, homophobic chants as well as any racist chants as well. Like, you know, at the end of the day, this is who these fans, majority of them, are, and that's the reputation that they've got. And unfortunately, you Chelsea, to me, have always been a small club with big money. That's all they are. You know, they've got a global reach because of the money that they had. But they, you know, this isn't like, for want of a better word, like Arsenal, who've actually got a tradition of finishing in top four or winning trophies or winning championships. You know, they beat us to it, you know, famously. This is not Tottenham, who's got a big, you know, fan base across the world, obviously Man United. Like, what the government have to actually do is kind of look into who buys these clubs, and don't pretend to care about things only when the opinion of or the world's opinions changes.
Yeah, I think the important factor here is when Abramovich took charge, I think everybody knew that the money was kind of dirty somehow. I don't think there was any mistake for that. And the view I've taken is, I've seen a lot of, certainly on Sky Sports News and so on, I've seen a lot of interviews with random fans saying, we're being affected by this, it's not our fault, da, 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 da. We can't see our club now. And I get that, but I also actually have zero sympathy for that, because at the end of the day, you've benefited from the last 20 years by that money. And yeah, I get you didn't have a right to it, but the fact that you've had 21 trophies in the last 20 years is a direct impact of this money. So you need to now pay consequences for that. There's got to be issues and repercussions of that. So at the end of the day, if I were to ask a Chelsea fan, would you take back the last 21 years for not owning this, to be able to never have this issue for your club again? I can guarantee you nobody's going to say yes to that. But they're happy they've got their 21 trophies. So my issue is whether it's fair or not that normal fans now can see their clubs. Was it right that they had 21 trophies over the last however many years based on that money? And I guess that's a dilemma. Right, because we're running out of time, let's move on to our predictions for the next couple of games. I just want to quickly add, because we've had Champions League actually, Mbappe, what a player. For me, he's the best. I know I support Liverpool. Mbappe is the best player in the world right now.
I haven't seen the game, but again, it's another case of, like, just because you spend loads of money doesn't mean that guarantees you success. So the end of the day is that what we've managed to do, you know, in the last few years has been like remarkable, and salute to everybody involved in all the transfers and you know, picking out players that are actually going to match what we've already got, because that whole thing, I do remember literally as soon as I saw Messi join, I'm saying that's Champions League done. And the fact that he's out already, this is like a chaos there. So get your tickets if you want to see Messi play in Europe for the last year, because I think he's off to America after this.
Okay. Maria, do you want to give us your team predictions and score predictions for Brighton and Arsenal? And actually, after Arsenal, we'll play two games when City will play one, so we'll then be on level games.
Yeah. Brighton, I think we are going to win 3-0. They're not doing brilliantly at the moment. I know they started off well beginning of the season, but, you know, I think they just got a bit carried away with themselves. They're rubbish, so they're going to lose. 3-0 against Brighton. And then who have we got? Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Oh, I haven't really thought about the Arsenal. I think Arsenal... God, it's a hard one with Arsenal. We're going to win, definitely. I'm pretty sure we're going to win. But I think it will be like a 2-1 against Arsenal. I do think they'll get one.
Dre?
So we've got Brighton in and Arsenal. So Brighton, I expect it to be like a...
Both away fixtures.
With Brighton, it's going to be a solid 2-2. Let me put my neck on the line. 3-0. I don't see them troubling us in any form of way. But obviously, they're a really good team. But I just think
drew against them last time at the blooming match that I went to. I was well annoyed. But that's not going to happen now. Yeah. But they're off form now.
They're off form. I think we've got enough options as well. I think he'll start off with Diaz, who will definitely score, I think, in this game. I think Mo will definitely get back to normal. So 3-0 with Brighton. I think with Arsenal, which I love, is my derby, I think that it's going to be 2-0 to us. Okay. But you'll get your exhibition of the football that you'll be looking for.
What do you think, Sip?
I think it's going to be... I'm going to go 3-0 as well against Brighton because it's away. And I'm also going to go 2-0 away at Arsenal. I think we're really difficult to score past at the moment, touch wood. I think that Martinez obviously had that wonder goal against us in the week for Inter. But don't forget we beat Arsenal 2-0 away while our players were at AFCON as well in the League Cup. So I fancy us winning both games. Do you want to quickly mention which players you expect to play? Just the forward players, Maria.
I think Brighton, Diaz, Salah. Oh.
I think they're all back. They're all fit.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just like...
Is Bobby fit now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe... Have we seen Diaz and Bobby together?
Not sure we have, you know.
We have we?
I think we have, you know.
We have.
Yeah, I think he's played.
Sure. Maybe against...
Is it Firmino in on this one? It's Brighton. I mean, it's not like a... I don't know. We don't want to be complacent. But, oh, yeah, I'd go Bobby on this one. He hasn't played. When did Bobby last play? I've actually lost.
He played in the first leg of Inter, and then he got injured.
Yeah, because that's... Oh, wait a minute. No, they definitely played before that. They played in the game. Diaz played... No, I can't remember that.
So is Bobby out then?
Bobby's been out since then.
No, is he out now?
He's in now. Oh. Well, yeah. According to Suki, blame it on him if he's wrong.
he was in full training since Monday.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go with them. What about you, Dre?
I think he's going to... I think he'll go with Jota. I'm thinking what he's going to do, not more than what I want. I think he'll go with Jota, Diaz and Salah.
I think he'll do that as well. And I'd bring Bob... Just because he's back in full training this week, I'd bring Bobby on second half for Jota and see how that plays out. I'm not sure what midfield he's going to play, and I'm not going to second guess it.
We never know. It's just like, yeah, you might as well shake something and just like get
him. Could be anyone.
I think he'll definitely play Fab, but the others, I'm not sure at the moment. Right, and I think that's it for now. Let's catch up next week after hopefully two wins and hopefully the gap to... I'm not sure who City have actually this weekend. Let me quickly check.
They have Palace. I'm going to go. It's on Monday.
Oh, it's Palace. Well, let's hope Palace can beat them because it's away. So hopefully, at the end of these two games...
They beat them at home as well.
Yeah.
So, come on, Palace.
I may have a visit down to Selhurst Park.
Oh, really? It's
purely scouting reasons, and that's it.
Of course. It's becoming a bit of a habit, young man. It's quite sad. Two big Liverpool fans seem to be at Crystal Palace. Every
hardcore.
Week.
But, in the hardcore section, we're beating the drum, literally beating the drum.
The sad thing is that I kind of am in the hardcore section.
Yeah, you are. You're closer to me. I make sure I'm far away, just so everyone knows.
Before we sign off, I just want to do a shout out, actually, to my friends who've just opened a bar in Liverpool. So any of our Liverpool listeners... My friends have opened a bar called Alcatraz, which is the immersive experience prison theme bar that exists in London, Brighton and Manchester. And they've just opened one this week in Liverpool. So I'm sure we'll be going as a team.
I think we need to go
at
up
some
there.
Point.
I'm waiting for the invite there.
Yeah, but check it out for any of you locals in Liverpool. Cool. Well, let's hope we're top of the league next time we chat next week. Thank you, guys.
Bye.